Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
In the world of Latin American cinema, Chilean director Sebastián Lelio has been making waves since his 2005 debut, La Sagrada Familia. His 2017 film, A Fantastic Woman, won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. But recently, Lelio has been venturing outside of Chile. His second English language film, Gloria Bell, opens in theaters this Friday. It's a middle-aged romance starring Julianne Moore and John Turturro.
Some days I'm happy. Some days I'm not.
Like everyone.
Viewers familiar with Lelio's earlier films might be getting a sense of déjà vu. That's because the new movie is a remake of his 2013 Spanish-language film, Gloria. But Lelio told me that doesn't mean it's the same.
This is like a cover of a melody played with a different rock band.
Sat down with the director to learn more about what led him to revisit Gloria and to get his take on representation both in front of and behind the camera.
The game of the film is to intensely observe Gloria, the main character, from every possible angle, going through the entire emotional spectrum. And she's always framed. She's in every scene. She's in every image. So when you change the actress / woman that is interpreting Gloria, then even if the story doesn't change in its mechanisms, the soul of the film is modified because now you're observing a new human being interpreting that woman.
The story of Gloria, Gloria Bell, is centered around a divorced woman over 50. This mm-hmm. is not somebody that Hollywood tends to write many roles for, women over 50. As a man under 50 yourself, why her? Why a divorced woman over 50?
Well, it's hard for me to intellectualize it. There was something very exciting and moving about the idea of taking this character that, you know, should not deserve a film and tell to her, you are a film. It's kind of like a love letter attitude towards her. Gloria should be the mother or the wife in a normal film, and the camera should go with the husband or the son. But here we stay with her and stay and stay and stay until we end up feeling the world like from within her skin, so to say.
Last year you had an interview with The Guardian. You said, and I'm quoting here, denying the legitimacy of a filmmaker who explores a world that does not belong to him has the smell of fascism about it.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
There is this new, strange morale that is imposing upon society in general that I think it's deeply related to the very weird times we're going through. And I think it's kind of like the counter side of the dark ages we're facing, you know? So fascism is not only coming from the extreme right, it can come up to surface from segments of the citizens, of our sectors, social sectors, that should be more connected to moving forward. And somehow, suddenly, we listen to well-intended people that are willing to expand the limits of what's possible, saying, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot make a film about a gay person if you're not gay, you cannot talk about black people if you're not black. I don't know. It sounds like, well, who's saying that? You know, like, I think that doesn't make any sense, and I don't agree with that. I think any time that artistic freedom is menaced, it's hiding the smell of fascism.
So let's talk about it from a different perspective. Let's say it's not about saying you can't do that film, and more about saying the majority of the people who are making movies today, regardless of where we look in the world, are men, right? Generally white men. So what if the conversation is less about you can't and more about what about other people telling those stories, allowing for more storytellers?
That sounds like a conversation I would be really happy to have. and I'm absolutely pro that happening. You know, what is important is what are the stories that we are putting out there so society can, you know, have access to them. And they should expand the limits of what's possible, you know, to represent. And in that sense, who is making them, it is important, but it's not essential. You know, I mean, you are not going to make a good story only because you're a gay person talking about a gay subject. Films have to be strong and have to have the capacity to resonate. And more minorities should be, of course, having more and more access to making films. And that's what so many people want. But what I don't agree with is with the attitude of you should not be doing this, you should not be doing that, because I just don't agree with that. Artistic freedom should be protected. It's a great, great value in society.
I absolutely agree with that. I think when we look at access is often where the conversation tends to fall, right, in terms of this. I want to pivot for a second, though, because something that I think often gets lost in the conversation is talking about race in the United States versus talking about race in Latin America, mm-hmm. right, and how it plays out. Do directors, do Latin American directors like yourself and other folks have a responsibility to bring these issues up in their filmmaking more directly?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I cannot speak for other directors. And I do admire what happened with Roma, because in a very humane way, Alfonso Cuarón was able to, with the help of the group of actors, to put at the center a subject that it has been always at the fringes again. You know, and he's a male, white director. So should we, you know, condemn him for that? That's what I'm saying, you know, like...
Well, I don't know if it's a condemnation, though. I think it's less about a condemnation and more about saying, okay, he did that, which is great, and it's a piece of art, and it's a piece of work. But then what if Yalitza was behind the camera? Would that make a difference?
Well, but that's that didn't happen. And it should happen in the future, hopefully, and I'll be the first person in the line to see that film. You know, in the case of A Fantastic Woman, I am not a transgender person, and I casted Daniela Vega because I thought that was what the film needed, not because I was sending a message to the world saying, from now on, you can only cast transgender people to interpret transgender roles. Because if I say that, I would be implying that my dear friend and the artist that I respect, who is Daniela Vega, should not be able to interpret cisgender roles. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to live in that world, you know? I want to live in a world where anyone can interpret anything. And hopefully, accessibility to who is telling stories keeps expanding and growing.
Sebastián Lelio, director of Gloria Bell. Sebastián, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, it's your turn. Do you think it's important for film or TV creators to be members of the community they represent in their work?
My name is Tanya Bauer-Nelson from Portland, Oregon, and my answer is absolutely not. I also don't expect sci-fi creators to be from outer space.
My name is Sean Carlin from San Francisco. I don't think it's necessary to be a member of the community one is writing about, but it is very important to care about and be interested in that community. Otherwise, the creative work becomes exploitative.
I'm Fred Brinkley from Waxhaw, North Carolina. You don't have to live the experience to create the TV show. What's more important is knowing what people like at this particular time.
And we're always happy to hear your thoughts. Let us know what you think on Twitter @The Takeaway. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.